fell ill. So I would like us to pray for her right now. Heavenly Father, we humbly ask that you would accompany Lillian. And you know she's not feeling very well at the moment, but we trust that as we put her in your hands, that you will see fit to alleviate her ailment. And as we begin this morning, opening your word, we pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. In thy name we pray, amen. Greater works than Jesus. You believe that? One, yes. One, yes. Greater works than Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. It's good to see you again. I've been here and there and everywhere. Thank you. And I know I have experienced many blessings in my journeys as of late. And most importantly, I think I've had a reaffirmation of Seventh-day Adventism. And that's a good thing. And this morning, I want to talk about works. And isn't that a hot topic? Well, we won't really dive into it like you may be thinking, but we'll try to look at it at a different perspective. Let me start by sharing with you that there are a lot of people in the world, right? About 6 billion of us in the world, and we come and go, don't we? We come and live our lives, and then we die. Kind of like a wave in the ocean, it builds up, it foams, and then it either slides back into the ocean or crashes on the rocks, and then it's gone. And you and I come, and we're here, and then we die. Sometimes nothing in between there, huh? But Jesus talks about our life in the context of meaning something for eternity. You believe that? Our lives mean something for eternity. And he calls the lives that we live and the things that will make a mark for eternity, he calls them works. And we read this most amazing text in John 14:12, if you would open there again. John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Now, I don't know what you think when you read that text, but one of the things that I know I have immediately thought of when I read that text is, I don't know if I can believe that or not. Are you with me? Anybody had ever had that thought? I don't know if I can believe that or not. But it's really an amazing statement. Truly, truly. Some of your Bibles may say most assuredly or verily, verily. Now, in the Greek, the two words you find there are amen, amen. Let it be so. So it's almost as if Jesus, now you know the background of John 14. Jesus is, the Last Supper has taken place. He's talking to these 11 men. He's having this discussion. He says, hey, listen up. I need you to understand this. This is so. This is so. If you believe in me, you will do the works that I do, and even greater works. So he gets their attention. You will do these things because I go to the Father. So it's an amazing, fascinating text. Yet, I think to myself, that's not happening in my life. You know, you do great works and greater works than these because I go to the Father. Where is it? Now, when you think about works, the works of Jesus, what's the first thing you think about? When you think about the works of Jesus, what do you think about? Okay, miracles. And Jesus had power over nature. Jesus had power over demons. Jesus had power over death. You think of his miracles. You think of the three that he raised from the dead. You think of when he told Peter to go catch a fish, and inside it he would find a quarter to go pay the temple tax with. You think of when he made the nets full of fishes on two separate occasions. You think of when he fed 5,000 men plus women and children, and later 4,000 men plus women and children. You think about healing the man with the withered hand, giving sight to the blind, the deaf and the dumb being able to hear and to speak. You think about all those things. He had activities over nature, activities over demons, over spirits, calling them out, and they came out when he said, "Come out." You think of him on the storm of Galilee. Hush. Be still. Peace, be still. A lot of miracles associated with the life of Jesus, correct? Okay, now let's leave those there for a second. What about the church activities after Jesus ascended to heaven? You read the book of Acts, wonderful book, by the way. And you read about Dorcas and Eutychus being brought back to life. You read about Paul being bit by a poisonous serpent with no effect. You read about, was Peter in jail, bound with four men, and somehow he just kind of walks out? You read about all these things that take place in the book of Acts, the church activities. What's interesting about the book of Acts is that it doesn't even stress those miracles. What it stresses is the Holy Spirit's power to change lives. Yeah. So it doesn't even stress the miracles or those works, but rather the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference. Now, so Jesus did all these healings, miracles, feeding and teaching, and so did we read later his church after he ascended to heaven. And that was just from Peter and Paul in the book of Acts that we mentioned. Now, what are these works that you will do and greater works? Go to Matthew chapter 11, because there's a description of the works of Jesus there, a description that he gives himself. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. This is familiar to you. Verse 2 of chapter 11 in Matthew. Now when John heard these things about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples. Go ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" So you know, he's in prison and he hears about all these things. If he's the one, we read in Desire of Ages the thoughts that are running through John's mind, and so why he sends these two gentlemen to go ask. And what does Jesus respond? "Go tell him what you hear and see. Tell him that the blind receive their sight. Tell him that the lame are able to walk. Tell him that the lepers, the untouchables, are being touched." Okay, he's saying to them. "And tell him that the deaf can hear, and that the dead are raised up, and that the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." So go tell him that all these things are taking place. These are different works, miracles that Jesus is doing. So in the life of Jesus, we see a lot of these things taking place, a lot of these different works that we call them. And on this night, going back to John 14, he's talking to his disciples. He says, "You guys will do these works." We're asking, what works? "These works, and greater works than these will you do." So what are these works we want to figure out first? And then we'll touch on greater works. Go to Matthew 10, just the previous chapter. Now this obviously predates Matthew 11. Matthew 10, verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, 'Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without pain, give without pay.'" So Jesus had already sent out the 12. He said, go heal the sick, go cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Now, keep that in mind. Go to Mark chapter 6. I like to hear the pages of your Bibles rustling. Mark chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 13. "So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now these are the 12 disciples. He's giving them this, he's commissioned them to go out and heal, to teach, to raise people from the dead. Absorb all this for a second, okay? Go to another text with me. Luke chapter 10. The 70 in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. So the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So Jesus is saying, okay, you cast out demons in my name. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And I'm going to give you, I have given you authority to tread over scorpions and serpents. I have given you authority so that nothing will hurt you. Nothing will come over you. But note this. That's not worthy of rejoicing in comparison with having your names written in heaven. In other words, salvation itself is a greater work than any miracle you can do on earth. Okay? Our salvation is a greater work than any miracle you can do on earth. More important, more powerful, more exciting to God. Just think about it for a moment. The people that Jesus healed, what eventually happened to them? Okay. What about the people that he fed? What eventually happened? If they're like us, they probably hungered again in the morning. What about those he cast out demons from? If they didn't walk with him, what would happen? The demon would come back in. So when we think about the works of Jesus, he says, these works you shall do, we try not to be so narrow as to think that they're just the miracles of Jesus. And this is where a lot of our sincere Christian brothers and sisters in the world fail, or are hoodwinked, if you will. And they think wherever these miracles are taking place, well, that's where God must be. And you have all these auditoriums being filled with hocus-pocus Christianity. Yeah. Right? So, but we're not so narrow as to think these works that we will do are just the miracles. Not just that. There's more to that. And we see that he's not just talking about that, because his disciples have already been involved in that type of ministry. Later, his church is involved in that ministry. So what is he saying? These works you shall do, and greater works. Because it's discouraging, isn't it? Well, I'm not doing great works. Or what great works have I done lately? I haven't cast out a demon lately. I haven't raised anybody from the dead lately. I haven't healed anyone lately. So what are these works? John 14, 12 again. How does it begin? Amen, amen. Truly I say to you, I'm telling you, Ray McKinney, you will do these works, Jesus says. What work is it that Ray McKinney is going to do? What work is it that Grant is going to do? What work is it that the Aiken Church is going to do? He says, if you believe in me, let's start there. If you believe in me, what is he saying? He's talking about a relationship with him. If you believe in me, this is what you will do. Now, and you will do greater works even. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus preach in England or Britain? Did he preach in India? Did he preach in North or South America? Jesus was one person in one place at one time, at, you know, one place, one specific place in the world, right? Palestine. Now, his church has gone to these different areas. And if you watched the General Conference session on 3ABN, or if some of you were there, just amazing to see what different countries are represented and where you think of the work that has gone on around the world, is going on around the world. And that's, just by sheer numbers, a greater work, okay? That people have been, that have been reached because of him being in the lives of people, and those people impacting those around the world. Amen? Now, that's a corporate experience, but I want to talk about an individual experience that we have. This great work that we each are called to do. The only way to figure that out is to look to Jesus. So turn just a couple chapters to John 17. John 17, this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Verse 4. Jesus is praying. He says, I glorified you on earth. He's speaking to Abba, to his Father. I, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do, I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Now, when Jesus says he has finished his work, I'm trying to reiterate the whole miracle thing. Was he talking about miracles? I finished my work that you gave me to do? No, because that very night he heals somebody with an ear, right? Ear problem there, cut off. So what's he talking about? I have glorified you. Keep reading. I have glorified you. I have accomplished the work that you have given me to do. Verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world. I have manifested your name to the men which you gave me out of the world. I think our answer lies there. Or at least we get a clue there. Jesus says, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. I have glorified your name. I have manifested your name to whom? To those men that you gave me out of this world. How many men did he have? 12? Well, 11, because one wouldn't have it. But he poured out himself to these men, did he not? That's what he did for 3.5 years, pouring himself out to these men, impacting their lives. So then we can read places like Matthew 10 and Mark 6 where they went out and cast out demons and healed people and taught people and raised people from the dead and made an impact for Christ. What were they doing in turn? They were glorifying Jesus. They were glorifying the Father because Jesus had manifested himself to them. And he says, Lord, I have finished that work. He's coming there to the end, that last week there, that last night there, praying, Lord, I have finished that work that you gave me to do. And that work was to magnify, to glorify, to manifest your name, your character, to show people, show these men what God is like. And he says, this work you shall do as well. Are you beginning to see what work it is that you have to do? This work you shall do, and greater works also. Now, statistically speaking, Jesus' ministry was a failure. How many men were at the cross? One. Think about Noah, too. How many years did he preach? 120 years. How many people ended up in the ark with him? So statistically speaking, failures. But we're not looking at numbers, are we? We're looking, he impacted how many men's lives? Those men that he poured himself out to day in and day out, and in turn what happened? We see an explosion in the book of Acts. He lived on because he poured himself into these men and he glorified the Father to them, and they in turn then glorified Jesus, the Father, to the entire world. And he says, that's the work that you will do. And a greater work will you do. Glorifying or showing people what God is like. Speaking of statistics and whatnot, you know who the most powerful evangelist of the history of the world was? He didn't even like the people he was supposed to preach to. He wanted God to wipe them out. And he's praying, he's mad with God because he won't wipe them out. And scholars say about 300,000 people repented, a whole city. And he's mad because, you know, I think, man, maybe I'm doing it all wrong. Maybe I should pray that God should wipe you guys out and see what he does. Jonah had it. He had it all wrong. But Jesus pours himself out into these men, declaring the character of his Father. And that's the work that he gives you, that he gives me to do each and every day. Look at that with me in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16. Saying, glorify. We're saying this work that you are going to do is to glorify the Father, show what God is like. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see what? Your good works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Good works in the eyes of Jesus, get this, are always associated, always linked together with glorifying or giving glory to his Father in heaven. Good works always associated with giving glory, declaring the character of God, showing what God is like, and the works that he's calling you to do this morning. To glorify the Father, show his character, reflect him. That's the work he wants you and I to do. I read a story, and I tried to locate it in the book where I read it, but I couldn't find it. But I'll try to do it justice. A gentleman was on the airplane. Pastor was on an airplane. He's writing a book. And I think it was Jim Holmberger. Some of you may be familiar with Jim Holmberger. But he was writing a book, and a secular humanist is sitting next to him. And so Jim is writing this heavy stuff about God. And so the gentleman next to him says, what are you writing? And so Jim hands it over to him, and he starts reading. It's about God. And the gentleman says, you know, I don't know a thing about God. All I know is that I got a good family. I got a good job. I have a good life. I have a good home. I have a happy life, but I don't have God. What is God like? What is God like? Does that question mean anything to you? What is God like? That's the question. That's the cry of the entire world, folks. What is God like? Yes. And Jesus says, this work you shall do. A work where people can look to you and say, man, if they're anything like the God they serve, then I want him. You know, I want him. Glorifying God, the work that we're called to do. And he says, let your light shine to glorify the Lord. Matthew 26, verse 10. Jesus there, you know there, Mary comes and anoints his feet. And you know that the men are upset because she's doing this. And read the words that he responds with, or the statement he makes. Verse 10, Matthew 26. Jesus was aware of this, that they were upset. He said, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done what? A good work for me. Why are you hassling her? She has done a good work for me. Now, was it a miracle that she did this? No, it wasn't anything supernatural, really. Well, she was under the supernatural prompting of the Holy Spirit. But it didn't require for God to open the jar or the flask of oil and anoint Jesus' feet. It was a very human act. And Jesus here is saying, why do you trouble her? She has done this good work for me. And keep reading the words there in verse 13. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus is saying, this is so important. This story is so important that I'm going to have it told in 2005 on the first Sabbath in August. It's so important that you're going to remember it even then. And what was the point? Not a miracle, but it was a worship of whom? Of Jesus. She was glorifying her Lord. So glorifying God is living a worshipful life to God. And that's what we're talking about. Amen. This work that we are called to do. John chapter 6. Notice how Jesus associates this. John 6. He's surrounded by a crowd and they're asking him a question. A question that I think, well, at least I know I've asked it. And perhaps you have asked it as well. John chapter 6. Verse 28. They ask him this question. What must we do to be doing what? The works of God. What must we do to be doing the works of God? That's our theme. The works of God. What must we do to be doing or to work the works of God? And what does he say to them? This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. The work of God is associated with a relationship with Jesus. Amen? Okay, associated with a relationship with Jesus that is so strong, Grant, that people will look at you and say, He believes in Jesus. She believes in Jesus. They believe in Jesus. That church believes in Jesus. He says, this is the work that you shall do, and even a greater work. One more text, Revelation 22. This is a promise to us there at the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Beginning with verse 7. And behold, I am coming soon. Amen. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. So he's recounting this vision that he's had. He says that he fell down to worship at the feet of the angel. And notice what the angel says. Don't do this, but rather do what? Worship God. The end there, verse 9. Worship God. This life that we live is a life in worship to God. And people see that. You believe that. People can see that you are worshiping the Lord. Keep reading down. We're going to read down to verse 12. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. Let them be known. Let the evildoer still do evil, the filthy still be filthy, the righteous still be righteous, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing what? My reward with me to who? To what? To do what? To give according to his work. And this work is associated, folks, with living a life, a worshipful life to God. That's personal. But it then overflows in our daily interactions with people. And they know he follows Jesus, she follows Jesus. And then that's when the scriptures are fulfilled that Brother Collins will do the works that I did and even greater works by reflecting the character, by glorifying the name of God the Father in heaven. That's the work he calls us to do. It's a responsibility, a high responsibility. Make a plug here for our evangelistic series, folks, because we have a responsibility in the coming weeks to do this work and a greater work. Amen. And that is to glorify the Father to those who will be coming through those doors. The evangelist is gonna take care of what he's gonna do, and the message will take care of himself, of itself. But what is the work that we are each going to do? How is it that we will fulfill this text? This work you shall do and greater works. How is it that you and I plan to glorify the Father, to magnify His name, and to let His character be known? That is a question I leave with you this morning. He says, truly, truly, because I go to the Father, this is so. Amen. What will you do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the miracles that you carried out here on this earth. The healing, the feeding, the raising from the dead, the teaching. All so that the lives of those men that spent day in and day out with you for 3.5 years, all so that those lives would be impacted. So that those lives would receive you, receive your Father. Thank you, Lord, for pouring yourself out to them. And thank you, Lord, for repairing them. And thank you for the wonderful work that took place that we read about in the book of Acts. And thank you for the promise that this work would be carried on until the end of the world. And thank you for calling us into that work, for commissioning us, for making us co-laborers with you. We're thankful for the promise that because you went to the Father, these things will be so. You call each person here this morning to glorify, to magnify your name And that name, Lord, is nothing less than your character. Who you are, and what you've done. This morning, it's our prayer, Lord, that you would help us. And you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would be able to faithfully carry out this work. This we pray, Lord, in thy name. Amen. Please open your hymnals to hymn number 269, Come, Holy Spirit. When you have it, please stand. I like the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. He starts by saying, you know, I'm a minister of this gospel, but I really wasn't worthy of it. You may think it was because of my upbringing or the way I've been taught, but it was because the Lord made me a minister of his gospel. I think sometimes we worry if, well, how can I be a minister? How can I be a witness? It says, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not anything that we plan. It's that the Lord has already planned out for us. That you are to do this. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So don't lose heart, he says. For this reason, he says, I bow to on my knees to the Father, for everyone, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You don't know how to glorify the Father? You know how to magnify his name? Get on your knees. He'll show you how to do that. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth and Christ surpasses knowledge that you receive here on earth, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory forever and ever. Do this work, good work. Strengthen you to do this work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, guide us now as we fellowship with one another. We pray, Lord, for a blessing upon the physical food we will receive. But we thank you, Lord, this morning for being spiritually fed in Sabbath school, and this just now, Lord, we thank you. We ask that as we continue the rest of this day, that we would continue to feed on you, your word, and that we would be strengthened, Lord, to carry out the work you have given us. This we pray in thy name. Amen.